Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 20. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus came to the region of Caesar Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he said. Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's a lot of nuance in our scripture reading this week. Isaiah 51 verses 1 to 6 references Abraham and Sarah as the rock out of which God's people are fashioned. This matches the rock metaphor for Peter in our gospel reading in Matthew. The promise of salvation and deliverance at the end of Isaiah 51 verses 1 to 6 is extraordinary. This promise goes far beyond any temporal salvation or rescue. Isaiah is prophesying a salvation and a deliverance that will survive even the decay of creation. It is a promise of deliverance even in the face of death. Now, Isaiah's prophecy looks ahead to our gospel lesson this morning, to a Messiah who establishes his church, not as a beachhead of political deliverance against the Romans or any other dominated or world domination power, but as one which will prevail against the gates of Hades, or less literally, against the powers of death. Jesus will build a church that will not only prevail against the final horizon, but against the satanic powers of death in our present age. I did my master's thesis on this gospel passage, Matthew 16, 13 to 23. The title of my thesis was An Analysis of Matthew 16, 13 to 23 and its role in the portrait of Peter in the Gospel of Matthew. So as I come to this gospel passage, I come with some apprehension, not because it's not a great story, and for that matter, it is a very important story. That's the very reason why I chose this as the subject for my master's thesis. But my apprehension is around our lectionary editorial choices. The lectionary divides this important passage into two parts, which I believe disrupts and subverts the integrity of the gospel story. So basically, it's just really hard for me to read this week's praise and affirmation of Peter, because next week there's a reversal and a rebuke, because Peter gains far more insight into the depths and the costs of his confession. Basically, Peter the rock crumbles and becomes a pile of shifting sand. Now, Matthew's aim is that we read Peter's positive intention and his reversal and his rebuke as one whole story. However, the editors of the lectionary have split the positive and the negative over 2 weeks. But then again, don't we love it when circumstances make us rethink our assumptions, when life and situations don't work out the way that we hope? So instead of having a sook about how the lectionary editors don't comply with my thesis, So in rethinking the situation and not sooking over it too much, I realized perhaps this lectionary editorial decision is not only faithful to Matthew's construction of the scene, it is also faithful to our lives, to our life in this world. So with all that said, let's explore the first half of this text and search for its important life applications. As for Matthew, it's clearly important for him to give Peter this moment in the sun. Matthew is following Peter's confession from Mark chapter 8, verse 27 to 30. He's repeating a similar passage that Mark writes. However, Matthew offers more descriptive narrative, and he offers more praise as well. He uses words. Matthew has inserted words like, "Blessed are you, on this rock I will build, and Hades will not prevail." And so pausing after these verses seems to give Peter his due. It harmonizes Matthew's construction of the scene. But it occurs to me that this pause to recognize Peter's confession might be important for us to consider as well. Peter will go on to completely misunderstand what it means for Jesus to be the Messiah. He will later resist Jesus' intention to turn himself into the authorities. He will eventually deny and desert his Lord and Saviour. But for now, in this passage, what we've just read, in just this moment, he confesses that Jesus is the Messiah. He confesses that Jesus is the living Son of God. And that's something that we can give thanks for. There's so much going on in our world right now. There's so much going on in our community right now. There's so much going on in our church right now that needs our effort, that needs our work, that needs our passion and our commitment as Christ followers. We are being called, my friends, in our individual lives and in our collective lives as a church, to confess Christ, the same Christ who sided with those who were vulnerable. We are being called to confess Christ in both word and deed. And so we know this. However, at the same time, we know that there is so much more to do than we seem able to do. And even our best efforts and even our most heartfelt attempts will fall short, as Peter's have. Because if we're honest with ourselves, we don't live as deeply or truly to our confession as we should. Because at times we get confused or scared about what that confession means or what that confession might demand from us. And yet there are moments when we confess, just as we have been discussing with Peter, when we do something right, when we perceive more of God's purpose than we previously have, when things come together, if only just briefly, and when we sense God's Spirit at work in us and amongst us. And in those moments, it makes sense to pause and give thanks. One of the key verses for me in reading this passage is Jesus' additional declaration about Peter's confession. And that's found in verse 17, where Jesus said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." God was at work in Peter. And yes, he would totally and royally stuff it up later on. But in this moment, God was at work. And this is always a cause for celebration and for thanksgiving. So this week, my friends, perhaps we might look around at our communities and see what is going right, because there's enough going wrong at the moment. So let's notice and name where God is at work. Let's lift up and let's celebrate and let's give thanks for those things where we sense the presence of the living God. Flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. Even in this stage 4 COVID lockdown, we are still able to do live streaming church services. We are still able to worship and hear the word of God proclaimed. And I realized it's an inconvenience. I know we would rather be here, we would rather fill this space. But through that inconvenience, we are reaching more people through our live streaming service than ever before. I look at the online viewing stats each week, and somewhere between 40 and 50 people constantly view each of our four services each week. That's three times the amount of people who are currently on our parish directory. There are 76 people who have signed up to our parish Facebook page. Now, when I started here at Christ Church 21 weeks ago, there were only 14 people who had signed up to our parish Facebook page. So let's give thanks for that. Even with the financial difficulties that this stage 4 lockdown has brought to our church, I'm giving thanks to God for the people who are already hearing the call to financial sacrifice. Those who understand that we need a financial boiler fund, a financial buffer, a financial fighting fund as we come out of this COVID crisis. And I give thanks to God for those who are now praying and seeking God's direction in what they should be giving over the next coming months. So let's give thanks for that. Even in these tough times, we have a hard-working parish council who have stepped up and are working very hard behind the scenes to make sure that we are getting through this COVID crisis in one piece. Our treasurer, Tracy Byrne, is doing amazing work. Our parish council is doing amazing pastoral care work. So let's pause and give thanks for that. Timothy has just had a bone marrow biopsy to assess his leukemia. The one he had 6 weeks ago still showed 3 or 4 cancer markers per 100,000. Now, I'm not quite sure what that means, but that's what they told us. This latest test shows no cancer markers whatsoever in his bone marrow. So now they're digging down deeper and doing genetic tests on his bone marrow, which is looking for cancer markers in the per billions. So Tim is getting closer and closer to full remission. Now, I believe this is purely down to the power of prayer, your prayers. So let's pause and give thanks for that. Now, I've just mentioned 4 things. If we put our minds to it, we could be here all day giving thanks to God, because big or small, the obvious or the easily overlooked, there are places in our lives where God's presence is manifest and our confession is clear. Let's give thanks for that. Let's pause and give thanks for that. This means that not for one moment should we overlook all that still needs to be done. But it's to pause, that we should stop and pause and assess that the living God is at work in our church, that the living God is at work in our lives. And if we can't sense and celebrate and give thanks for God's presence in the small things right now, how are we ever going to claim God's power and providence in the large things? My friends, if God can heal by the power of prayer a young Down syndrome man of leukemia, then by the same power of prayer, God can use us and cause a positive financial income for our church, a financial outcome for our church. God can do that through gratitude and through praise, because gratitude is a powerful thing this morning. Or perhaps more accurately, gratitude is an empowering thing. And these readings from Matthew and Isaiah give us a chance to give thanks, that we might be open to what God is willing to do in us, for us, and through us. So I think in the midst of this stage 4 COVID lockdown, it's a good place to pause and to see God at work in our lives, to see God at work in our church. Like Peter, we're not perfect, and the situation is not perfect. Like Peter, our confession is not fully understood or lived out in our lives at times. Yet confessing faith through speech and through actions is only possible because such faith and such gratitude is not empowered by flesh and blood, but by God. So, let's pray as I close. Gracious God, in the busyness of our day, we sometimes forget to stop and thank you for all that is good in our lives. Our blessings are many, and our hearts are filled with gratefulness for the gifts of living, for the ability to love and be loved, for the opportunity to see the everyday wonders of creation, for sleep, for food, for water, for a mind that thinks and for a body that feels. We thank you too for those things in our lives that are less than what we'd hope them to be. Things that seem challenging, things that are unfair, things that are difficult. When our hearts feel stretched and emptied, and the pools of tears form in our eyes, still we rejoice that you are as near as our next breath, and that in the midst of the turbulence, we are growing and we are learning. In the silence of our souls, we thank you most of all for your unconditional and eternal love through Jesus Christ our Lord.